Our second scripture reading is Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Now I'll invite, I think it's Beth and Connie up for reports from MCUSA convention.
This was my third experience being a delegate for this congregation at convention. My 2019 delegate experience began Wednesday, July 3rd, when I met with 498 other delegates from around the U.S. We were seated in table groups of 8 to 10. First thing was we were introduced to denominational leaders. David Bushart, who spoke here a couple years ago, he was moderator. Glenn Guyton, who's speaking this fall here, is our executive director for MCUSA. Incoming moderator is Joy Suter, and moderator-elect Linda Dibble. So those are some names that you'll be hearing and reading about in the Mennonite periodicals. First thing every morning of the four mornings that we had delegate sessions was Bible studies. Professor Emeritus Tom Neufeld led our Bible studies each morning from Ephesians chapter 1 through 4 on the theme Gathered into One. He did a chapter a day. Ephesians 1, 9 to 10 says, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Jesus. And that's what he talked about basically all week in these Bible studies, was the unity of Christ and how the church is brought together under Christ's headship. Tom suggested that the diversity that is causing so much controversy in the church today is due to God's success in gathering so many diverse people together under Christ. And I'll share some of the other insights I gained from the Bible study. Unity in Christ does not mean that everyone is in agreement. Therefore, church gets messy. That was one of the catchphrases of the convention. The church is a mess. Thanks be to God. That speaks to the diversity of beliefs and scriptural understandings which exist within the church. Yet we are commanded to unity in Christ. Thinking of unity as the starting point rather than the goal will help us reframe many of the struggles we have with each other. That was a suggestion from Tom Neufeld. Mennonites have liked to think of ourselves as distinct, different, holy, separate, and spotless. And because of those perceptions, schisms have become the Mennonite disease. Tom Neufeld called them the Mennonite disease. When inevitable disagreements arise, the answer has been in the past and many times is schism or separating. The Spirit is our personal training and learning trainer in learning how to walk together after Jesus. We bring our disagreements into the church because that's where Christ wants to train us. The church should be marked with humility, patience, suffering each other, which is forbearance, forgiveness, which is gracing each other as God graced us, and seeing the face of God in each other. One delegate asked the question if unity has limits. Tom's response was that we are part of the body of Christ in order to be transformed, so we are all works in progress. We are chained to each other in the bond of peace, and sometimes that might feel like we are bearing a cross. The unity of the Spirit is bigger, wider, and deeper than any denominational structure. One delegate said that those with less power are often asked to shoulder more of the burdens of forbearance. Tom admitted that that is true. When people have less power, they have more burden when it comes to forbearing others. He said, just because one side wins and the other loses, that doesn't mean that it's a good decision that has been made. MCUSA is approximately half the size it once was, 120,000 members down to 60,000 now. Convention attendance was at its lowest in MCUSA's history, falling to 2,839 youth, children, and adults. This reflects the losses of people and conferences from the denomination in the past few years. Two youth delegates were part of my table group of eight. They were a blessing, and I appreciated their insights. I thought they really were invaluable to our discussions. Several resolutions were approved by the delegate body. A church-wide statement was made against the abuse of child migrants at the border, and this is based on Leviticus 19:33-34, which says, "When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born." And another resolution was a change in MCUSA bylaws, creating permanent positions for youth delegates in the future. And when I say youth, I mean young people between the ages of 16 and 21. So from now on, congregations will be allowed to have two youth delegates in addition to the adult delegates that they send. These delegates will be full voting members. The denomination has, for several years, had a step-up program where young people can choose to be part of that and be trained on how to be a delegate, what to consider, what to think about before they become voting members. So that's still in existence, that step-up program. In 2017, a resolution was tabled condemning Israel's actions against the Palestinians. In the meantime, has been reworded and a revote was taken. It was passed in the 2019 convention, even though there were questions about the appropriateness of a peace church condemning anyone. Another action that was taken, I want to read this so I get it right. A plan will be made for a two-year biblical discernment process culminating in a delegate decision on the status of the MCUSA membership guidelines in 2021 at the next convention. The membership guidelines have been a point of contention due to the regulations on same-sex marriage. Input from the LGBTQ advocacy groups will be included in the recommendations that will be coming out of this group in 2021. So that's something to think about for 2 years from now, that the membership guidelines, there's a possibility that those might be recommended to be changed. Every morning and evening, worship services were held which combined youth and adults. They were energizing, and the speakers were engaging and challenging. A couple of them that really spoke to me were Sue Parker, who's the denominational minister. She was inspiring. Megan Good, author of the book The Bible Unwrapped, Making Sense of Scripture Today. And there were many others, too. There was worship service every morning and evening, and those were just wonderful. This was 1 year, and I think it was the first year, that youth and adults worshiped together. And that was very, very nice. It changed, I think, a little bit the type of services, and they're very, I really got a lot out of the worship services. Very good. On July 4th, the Mennonite Piano Concerto, written by Victor Davies, was performed by duo pianists. This composition from 1975 is based on 10 traditional hymns sung by Russian Mennonites who emigrated to Kansas. The composer was present, and he was able to answer questions about his composition. So that was a good experience. I didn't even realize there was such a thing as a Mennonite piano concerto. My impression is that the denomination is now skewed toward less traditional and more progressive reading and interpretation of Scripture, especially in matters pertaining to human sexuality, attitudes toward Israel, and politics. More conservative conferences have withdrawn from the denomination. That's my impression. In my table group, several people self-identified as inclusive pastors. There were a number of people at convention who self-identified in that way. Delegate sessions in this convention were less confrontational, aggressive, and fearful than in past years. The delegate agenda was free of controversial decisions, which also helped create a less stressful atmosphere and enabled people to focus on Spirit-filled revival, unity, and transformation. Another change was that we had Bible studies every day, which I think was a very good change. I was more conservative in my thinking than most of my table mates, but they were respectful of that. In past years, responses from my table groups have been much more hostile and argumentative when traditional views were expressed. This year, people seem to be really making efforts to consider and discuss diverse opinions. It appeared that many are tired of denominational conflict, and there was even talk of trying to reconcile with those who have withdrawn from the denomination. Every convention has its unique character, and this was the first where it was that I have been to that. The atmosphere was more comfortable. I think people were a little bit more receptive to hearing the opinions of each other.
One of the main things that I liked about convention too was what goes along with what Beth had mentioned toward the end. It felt to me more like people were ready to have conversation. We were discussing things, and a lot of the topics, it's not easy things to discuss, but I felt too that there was a more respectful attitude kind of, and open listening, which I really liked. So I attended 10 seminars this time. What I'm going to do is maybe tell you one or two things that I took away from each of the seminars, and I'm hoping at a later time to share some of the ideas more in depth, because I thought that I really learned a lot. Okay, the first one was, can the church be good news to LGBTQIA+ youth? And this was listed under adult seminars. I left my booklet up there. I was going to show you, because we always get a booklet at the beginning, and mine is always dog-eared and scribbled on and messy, because in one time slot, there'll be 3 seminars that I want to go to, and then another time slot, it's like, oh, there's nothing. So you have to pick and choose. But the seminars are listed. There's a group of adult seminars, there's a group of seminars that are intergenerational, and then there's a group for youth. And you can go back and forth between them, but that's what they're geared toward. And this first one was geared toward adults, but over half of those attending were youth, and it was standing room only. The room was packed. You know, people were wanting to hear about this. One of the things that the presenter said is that we were to think of something we believed about God that changed as we got older. When we're younger, we see things more in black and white. And as you grow and you learn, things are added. So it's like you see more in color. And so just looking at things, maybe that again would be part of the conversation piece where you're getting ideas and information from other people to help you form your ideas. We broke up into small groups, and the first day I was there, I saw this young person several times. It seemed wherever I went, I saw her, and it was partly because you couldn't really miss her because she had rainbow hair and tattoos and different things that set her apart. She was quite lovely, but it was one of those things where you saw her. I saw her every time I looked around, it felt like. And she was in my small group, Lillian. When we were in the small group, we were discussing how to address this issue. And she, of course, my brain, first of all, I didn't know if she was part of the LGBTQ. She identified as female, but she had so many friends that were in this group, and she really was serious about finding out how the church can be good news to these people. I think she was still a teenager. I think she was maybe 17 or 18 years old. And so we were talking, and I could see this look on her face just kind of changed. And when it was over, she leaned over to one of her friends and she said, "This is so different than what I expected. I expected there was going to be negative comments because it was all positive things. We were trying to see how we could reach out to this group." And she was just so happy with the way it was. All the rest of the week, whenever I saw Lillian, I have goosebumps thinking about Lillian now, because she would say, "Oh, hi," and she would talk to me. You know, before, I'm sure she thought, "Oh, what does this old lady think?" Which now she maybe still was thinking that, but she knew some of what I was thinking. And so I just felt that was a good example of crossing what could be a divide, because we sat at the same table and we talked together. Another one I went to was trauma, resilience, and leadership. And there were a couple of handouts about this, about how to build resilience in ourselves and others. This was coming from a leadership perspective, so it was a lot of taking care of yourself when you are working with someone who's been traumatized. Watching out for the secondary trauma, that something might not be happening directly to you, but you can feel it because it's happening to the person that you're working with. Good news in God's country. I believe Terry just reviewed this book recently in the conference newsletter, and we have the book in the library. It's Rural Mission and Evangelism. In 1910, rural was identified as 2,500 people or less populations, and now it's 2,500 to 50,000, depending on the definition, or less than 1,000 people per square mile. In 2017, Lowville had 3,180 population and 120.3 people per square mile. So we are rural, of course, you knew that. And some of the challenges with new people coming in are that we know each other so well. We have this rich history together, which is good and bad at the same time. It's good to have this history, but it also can be something that can keep people away just because they don't feel involved in that. And so kind of needing to find ways to bring them in is a good thing. Another one I went to was called Shalom Sisters. A lady called Oshita Moore was thinking about ways to make peace and promote peace around her all the time in her walking around life. So she made pages and pages and pages of lists of things to do, but she came up with 12 things to remember as we go about our day. Every action, every word, everything we do, we should think, this is a way to have peace with God. We remember we are invited, we are beloved, we are enough. To have peace with ourselves, we will see the beauty, we will rest, we will see subversive joy. To have peace in our relationships, we will tell better stories, we will serve before we speak, we will build bridges, not walls. To have peace in the world, we will choose ordinary acts of peace. We will show up, say something, and be still. We will be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. I went to a seminar called Beyond Sunday School, Nurturing Faith in Our Children. The presenter was Joyce Peachy Lind, who happens to attend Community Mennonite Church in Harrisonburg, where Jason Gerlach, Adam's brother-in-law and Stephanie's brother-in-law and Tom and Brenda's son-in-law, is a pastor, and he was there as well. She talked about 4 different personality tendencies that children have as well as children. That would be emotion-centered, word-centered, symbol-centered, and action-centered. And as we were brainstorming ideas of how to nurture faith formation, she brought up that Jason has instituted a church recess time where between church and Sunday school, or whichever direction they have it, he takes all the kids out and has recess so they can get their wiggles out and then come and sit down. So that was a very good idea. Another one I went to was anger and forgiveness, gifts to share, finding a new way to live without being bound to your offender and all the pain, anger, guilt, and other junk that goes with being a victim. It is learning to leave all the junk behind and grow again as God intended. Understanding sex, gender, and sexuality. Keith used some information from this in his sermon a few weeks ago. This group is under pressure. They're twice as likely as their peers to say they've been sexually assaulted, more likely to develop an anxiety or depression disorder, more at risk for homelessness and rejection by family and friends, and one of the highest suicide rates is in this group. Another one I went to was Always My Child by the parents of LGBTQ children. One mother lamented the fact that she had to warn her teenager that she might encounter people at the MCUSA convention who would not be nice to her, who would be mean, who would attack her. And if there is any place that your child should be able to find safety and acceptance, it is in the church. And that was not true for this particular mother and her daughter. She said, "My daughter is very gifted and she will use those gifts somewhere. It will be the church's loss if they do not accept her and she leaves, because she will do great things." The last one was a conversations across the liberal conservative divide. And there are 6 moral foundations that we come to any of our ideas with: care, fairness, loyalty, authority, sanctity, and liberty. An example was my small group talked about immigration. Someone from the conservative side would speak to this from the foundation of care, thinking that they want to nurture and protect those who are already in the country. Someone looking at it from the other side, still from the foundation of care, is thinking that they are thinking in terms of providing safety for and protecting those who are coming into the country. So the main thing is to learn how to address these issues coming at it from the same foundation that the other person is coming from. Anyway, I went to a lot more seminars than I usually did, and I just found myself, most of them, and when I left, oh, that was really, really good, and then the next one would be good. So I got a lot of information, and thank you for letting me go.
Thank you, Connie and Beth, for sharing your thoughts. Is this the church you grew up in, what they're reporting on? How much change has there been? For some of us, there's too much change. It's a little bit too hard to take this. Maybe it's time to move on. For others, we're saying it's about time we start to address some of these issues. I'm not sure where on that continuum you find yourself. I am wearing my tractor pull shirt this morning for two reasons. One is to keep up with Steve Demko, who wore his last Sunday, and I knew he was going to do that. But the other is that the person who drives this tractor called the Edge of a Dream, his name is Lance, and he's a believer, and he came up to me before the tractor pull at the fair last 2 weeks ago and said, I think it'd be good if we could have a prayer before this starts. Would you let me do that? And I didn't ask anybody's permission. I said, yeah, let's do that. And so he came out in front of a couple thousand people in the grandstand and gave a heartfelt prayer before the competition. What amazed me is after he was done, the chorus of amens that came back from the grandstand. I didn't expect that. That was the highlight of the night for me. As much as I like loud motors and all these people in the fair, hearing that many people say amen to his prayer, which was really good. He shared from the heart. He shared with me later, this is a dangerous thing we do, and I'm scared when I get into that cockpit, and I'm sitting on 3,000 horsepower, and I'm pulling 60,000 pounds, and if I make one bad mistake, that might be the end of me. So he identified with the other competitors, and it caused me to think, do all these people go to church that said amen back? I doubt it. But I am guessing they are thinking about spiritual things. And I am finding that this generation and all of the generations as we live today are thinking about spiritual things as much today as we ever have. We're just not going to church as much. I've learned much in this generation about the church. The passage that was read, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, is one big long sentence in the Greek that Paul says, or his followers says, whichever you may feel. And I wrote a paper on this because I thought this passage was about predestination, and I was kind of obsessed with that when I was in college. If God knows every single thing we're already going to do, isn't that a little bit like knowing the score of a football game before it even starts? And if you know the score before it starts, what fun is there to watch it? So I got all sidetracked on this stuff. After all, the word predestination is right in the passage. Well, after writing this paper, I realized that predestination isn't what this is about. It's about the plan that God has for the church and his affirmation for the church. So what does it mean when 80% of the population in 1956, the year I was born, went to church? And what does it mean that only 40% goes now and that number continues to drop? This is the elephant in the room that was at the convention, although everybody was seeing the elephant in the room because there were a lot of seminars. What do we do about our declining numbers? And I appreciate the way Beth shared about this, hearing what she has heard from Tom Neufeld, who I had the chance to listen to at a Mennonite Camping Association convention a few years ago. I hadn't thought of it that the reason the church is dealing with all these issues is because of God's success in drawing people together. That's a good way to think about that. So thank you, Beth, for sharing in that way. I also didn't know that Tom Neufeld used the same passage that we picked for this morning, and that sentence that meant so much to me, the church is brought together under Christ's headship, is what Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 mean. So what does that mean for the future? I have a whole sermon on this, which I'm going to be giving another time, and it's a really good one. It is now, anyway. Most of my sermons are really good until I give them. Then they seem to lose something. But I have learned so much about the church from this congregation. I believe that this congregation has a future ahead of it, a good one and a big one. It's challenging for the changes right now, and I have some thoughts to share on that at another time. I've certainly learned a lot about women in ministry from this congregation. I thought I knew what that was about until I found out that I was married to someone who was in ministry. Marcus Schmucker, in his wisdom, tabbed Connie as the possibility of being a pastor here in this congregation, and the amount that I have learned from that, I will never be the same again. 2 weeks ago, I shared how many families in this congregation have been personally affected through the LGBTQ issue, and the number on that morning was 12. That number keeps climbing because others in the congregation have now shared with me. They felt the freedom to do that. We're up to 16 families in this congregation dealing with a child, a niece, a nephew, an aunt, an uncle, somebody really close who is part of that community. And we're struggling with how to face that. We are also dealing with something else that I knew nothing about until Connie became the pastor here, and that is the number of women in this congregation that have suffered some kind of abuse, and in some cases an outright physical attack on their person, sexually or otherwise. And that number is 5. 5 ladies have shared personally with, shared personally with Connie their story. They would never have shared that with me or any other male pastor. So, and through that sharing, they found some of the healing and forgiveness that they need. That's a lot of ladies in this setting. And there's probably more that haven't shared. It's a concern for the future that all of us have, and that came out often also at this convention. It is my hope that in the days ahead, this congregation will always have at least one female pastor and one male pastor, because there are a lot of women pastors that a man can't relate to. It's just the fact of how we live. And there's a lot of New Testament examples of how both were ministering. So I hope we can continue to move that direction. I think there is a chance to do something exciting for the church. David Fitch shared that there are 3 kinds of churches today. He kind of summarized this in a more simple way. I'll be sharing more about that in the future. It has helped me explain our history a little bit. And I appreciate, most of all, Beth sharing and Connie, that the quality of this convention seemed different. There seemed to be more of an ability to listen and to hear and to share with each other, even though we are half the size of what we used to be. It made me wonder as I was sitting here, does this congregation need to shrink to half the size that we used to be before we can really start relating to each other? Well, I don't think so, but if that happens, that's not such a bad thing. I will say that there are people in this community, hundreds of them, that don't attend church, but that are thinking every day about spiritual things. How can we relate to them? That will be the task ahead for us, and I believe that God sanctions this as part of his sharing through Paul in this passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Let's stand for a closing word. We have another problem with expiration dates. We have some ice cream mix that the dates expire soon. We don't have any for you today, but sometime shortly there's going to be a big ice cream day here at the church. If that doesn't get people here on Sunday morning, I don't know what else will. Lord, thank you for your blessings to us. Thank you that as a denomination we can gather and share with each other, strengthen each other, that we can confront the modern issues of the day head on and not be afraid of them, and have Christ lead us. Have you lead us with the guidance of your Spirit. Thank you for these words from Ephesians, that you predestined the church from the very beginning to be the vehicle that transfers your love to the world. May we do that in the days ahead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.